1 to item 12, consider and take possible action to adopt the 2020 CICERA budget. Henry, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. What we have for you is a presentation of the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2020. That's part of the budget expense here. It's a presentation of the 2020 proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year. When the budget gets prepared, we take into account all the strategic initiatives and all the activities that go towards that. And this budget supports that, which includes effective, efficient administration, safeguarding assets wherever possible, ensuring that our members get the best possible service. So everything ties back to that. Included in the budget is the addition of the three new positions that we just discussed. We are filling four other positions, two investment officers at staggered points throughout the year. We're adding a retirement counselor, we spoke of, and an accountant in connection with all the duties that have enhanced the custodian bank acquisition a few months back. We added some overtime. There's a lot of work going on with the verification of the member accounts in connection with the CPAS conversion and the sub-ledger decommissioning and the recommendations that were given to us from the ICON consultant. We added professional service fees for the new pension consultant, LRWL, and that's in this budget. We also added, in the spirit of reporting and adding to the budget reporting process, the addition of investment consulting fees for Verus and Stepstone, and also the fees we pay Siegel. Those in the past, they're not brand new expenses. In the past, they've always been charged in the CAFR financial statements, but they weren't included as part of the budget process. So we're bringing them to the discussion, the reporting point, and we'll have some schedules, what that means to the budget. And we also have increased office expenses.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Just so in terms of what we're looking at on page 8, for the proposed non-administrative budget under operational expenses?
Correct.
The $925,000, which is really the driver in why this category goes up 167%, but that $925,000, is that the investment consulting expense that we previously didn't identify here, but we're now going to put in here?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And the same thing with underneath it, the actuarial fees, the $215,000 right below that.
Got it. Okay. So where were those previously?
They were charged in the financials as a deduction of investment earnings. All three of those.
So but in theory that's not incorrect, right? I mean in
no,
other
no,
words,
no,
those
it's
are
not
investment
incorrect.
Related expenses, right?
No, it's not incorrect.
Okay.
And it's perfectly appropriate recording in terms of the CAFR, but what we're speaking of here is the budget presentation where we bring expenses to a budget format. Some are administrative expenses that are subject to the cap limit we spoke about earlier, and some are non-administrative expenses. The non-administrative expenses are these: the investments, legal, the disaster recovery program. Those are not subject to the cap limit, but we bring them to the budget so we can have a presentation and discuss what it takes to run the organization.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It stood out, I'm sure, to everybody here that when you looked at these numbers, that percentage increase of 167 in the proposed non-admin budget was not inconsequential. So the question is, where did those numbers come from? Were they new versus came from a different category?
Right.
Okay.
We just want to spend some time. They're not new. Maybe a couple budgets ago, I know we have some new trustees, but maybe a couple budgets ago, a couple years ago, we added legal fees.
Yes.
In the same process. This is another follow-up. This is budgeting best practices that we have informational. These have always been there, but they're just making it to this schedule here. And it's important to note that by adding them, it contributes to some of the apparent budget increase. And we'll speak about that, like what part is adding these and what part is legitimate expenses for some of the new staffs.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you.
You bet. So we spoke about adding them. We spoke about office expenses. The format of the budget, if we turn to page number 3, So if we turn to page number 3, visually it makes sense instead of sprinkling many numbers. We'll get into the numbers and the detail. But if we look at the top of page number 3, basically what we're speaking of is the whole chart is the proposed budget. The gray area is the administrative piece of the budget. It's really two sub-budgets, administrative and non-administrative. The administrative represents about 70% of the total, and the administrative expenses is the office of the executive and compliance team, the accounting, information technology, retirement services, member services teams, HR. Non-administrative is investments, legal departments, and the disaster recovery expenses. So the sum of those two make it to the total budget. You can see about 70% is the admin and 30% is the non-admin. The total of that is growing from last year's budget about $2.5 million. About 18%. And that's where we'll get into what are we adding to it. So the schedule below breaks down where the $2.5 million comes from. And we can see that personnel services is about 1.1 of the $2.5 million. That's about 43%. That's the staff positions that we spoke about, the three new ones, the addition of the four anticipated fillings, the increased overtime, related benefits, that's all inside that slice. The blue one underneath it, the professional services, $902,000, that represents adding the investment consulting and the actuary costs to the budget. Almost all that slice is there. The smaller light blue one, the IT systems, $362,000, that's the pension consultant, LRWL, in their phase one of work that's going to be the majority of 2020. Towards the end, we'll get into their second phase where they recommend a new system, and we typically capitalize those costs where you get to amortize those over a period of time, but we'll get to that, but that's the piece of that. And then we have our office expenses, our depreciation in connection with our move and our leasehold, spreading that over 10 years. So we felt it was important to identify exactly where the increase and where the sources of that increase is coming from. That's what that schedule does. But going back to the administrative cap limit, of all the expenses in the budget, it's the gray one, the 11.8 back at the top. That is the one that's subject to the limit. And the formula for the California Government Code says that 21 basis point of the most recent actuarial accrued liability is the limit. The Siegel report, as of December 31st, 2008, said the actuarial accrued liability was about $9.7 billion. 21 basis points of that gives you a figure of approximately $20.3 million as a limit. And our admin budget that we're proposing is 11.8. So the, as Harvey mentioned earlier, the 11% is traveled up to 12.2%. But it's well under the 21 basis points.
Well, and it's not 12%, it's 0.122%. Yeah.
0.12.
Yeah.
But it's still analyzed. Just because we have 0.21 basis points doesn't mean we travel all the way up to the 21 basis points. We take a look and make sure that they're all value-driven expenditures. So then the format of the numbers, if we travel on down to the actual format, we look on page 6, This is the summary of the total proposed budget with everything in it. The gray area on the left-hand side, since we're speaking today on December 11th, we're so close to the end of the year, accounting did a roll forward of where we are, and we estimated where we would be at December 31st. The year isn't closed, so some of this is our good estimate, but we felt that this was helpful in trying to determine how it compares to a budget that we're proposing for next year. So the second column over, you have the F-2019 estimate, where it lands, and it says that we're going to finish the year roughly about 13.1, and we would be 8% under budget. That's our best guess as of the date of the preparation. Over on the blue side, that's where we're proposing a new budget of $16.7 million. $2.5 million higher. The 18% is growing. If we backed out the investment consulting and the actuarial services, just to put it in context, that 18 would drop down to 10%. And 80% of the 10% is the discussion that we had about staff over time and the needs, and those are the legitimate ones.
Scott?
So to Harvey's point earlier in the fiduciary presentation about the rigor in the process for how we prudently manage the expense side of the house, it might be useful for in for future reports. I know we do this annually, but to do a few call-outs such as that so that it's clear to a casual reader or an uninformed reader or maybe even an informed reader as to why the numbers are what they are, so that on a real facial examination somebody would look at this and go, wow, they went up 143% or whatever. Just from the standpoint of, because there's a good reason for everything we do, and like you say, when you back out the Siegel and Veris numbers that are just really new to this report, it's not a significant increase in the context of what it is. So my suggestion is maybe do, in your summary, maybe call that out, because I think for those who might be looking and reading what we do, it's a helpful factoid for them to have.
You bet. Note taken. Let's see. So the proposed total budget is a summary of the administrative and the non-administrative. If we look at page 7 and page 8, they're really the sub-budgets that total to the top. But the format is the same, and the discussion points are the same. We can travel into the numbers, but I felt more of the discussion and the emphasis should have been on the total and calling out where it was coming from. Towards the very end, we travel to page number 9, is a capital budget, and this is where the depreciation and the amortization hits from the leasehold improvements. We have about $1.5 million in new assets, and we're going to spread those over 10 years, and it's going to cost about $279,000. So that concludes my presentation. I'm open to questions.
Any questions? I see one. Jerry?
I'd like to move to adopt the proposed 2020 budget.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any further discussion? Okay. It's been brought to my attention by council, and I apologize for missing this soon, not catching this on my own. Mike, you actually can vote because Dr. McDonald and Assistant Chief Pigeon are not here, and so you can vote on this item, and we'll take a re-vote on the previous item. So with that,
does it Donnie vote for Will?
Yes.
So if not, so Sloan wants to vote for Will. He's going for McDonald, right?
But it's because they're both gone, right? Oh, I'm sorry.
Good point, Candace. Good point.
So I'm going to. Council wants to speak, so I'm going to cancel that vote. And yes, Karen?
Okay, my mic is on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, that's on. Red is on.
Red's on. Red's hot.
It's hot. Yeah, it's red hot. So thank you, and apologies for the delayed advice here, but Harvey and I were talking about this. It took a little while to figure out, and we thought about Louis's point as well. The fairly new statute that became effective in 2017, 315.20.6 of the government code, does state that the retiree alternate, that's Mike Sloan, vote if there's a number of situations, but the applicable one today is if Mr. McDonald and Mr. Pigeon are absent. In addition, the safety alternate, Donnie, is voting today for Will Pigeon as well. And we thought about, does that mean that McDonald is being voted for by Donnie and therefore is not absent? But the statute doesn't say that. So we do think that Mike gets to vote. Yeah.
And that's the change in 17. They came about. And if you actually count the balance of the board as between participant members of the system and appointed members and an ex officio, it stays in balance by both of them being able to vote in this unusual circumstance.
And staff gives me a little cheat sheet, and I still missed it, so my apologies.
Yeah.
So is there any more discussion before we take a vote? Seeing none. We're voting on the budget, and then we'll reopen the previous one. Mm-hmm. So please cast your vote. And I see none. Motion passes 9-0. The ayes were Anderson, Finley, Gordon, Holcomb, Kroll, Kwan, Sloan, Smithy, and Watts.